and in the sun and rain, my life celebrates. You are good. You are good. Oh, and with the cry of praise, my heart will proclaim that you are good. Oh, you are good. Oh, within the sun and rain, my life celebrates. You are good. Oh, you are good. And I sing because you are good. And I dance because you are good. And I shout because you are good. You are good to me. This again.
Pour out your love from heaven, fill me until I overflow. Lord, I want more. Reach down your hands from heaven, pull me closer than ever before. Lord, I want more. Pour out your love from heaven, fill me until I overflow. Lord, I want more. Reach down your hands from heaven, pull me closer than ever before. Lord, I want more. Come on, hands up. To you, I'm lifting my hands to praise you. I'm lifting my voice to thank you. I'm reaching for you, Jesus. I need you. I'm living my heart to know you. I'm living my life to show you. I'm reaching for you. Yeah.
Down. I want to share something. Driving to church, for some reason, I remembered. I was thinking about this song, and I remembered when I was little, every day my dad would drive home from work, and I'd run outside with my arms open and just yell, "Dad." And my sisters made fun of me, and I didn't care. I just couldn't wait for Dad to come home. Jesus is coming home to get us. Am I right? I don't know what that's going to look like. I had a dream the other night. Well, I had a dream that the world was coming to an end. It was over. And all I could say was, God, please forgive us. But Jesus is coming back. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus is coming back. And you know what? He's so good to us.
Amen.
He's so good to us. So don't walk in shame. My goodness, I thought about that too, of how we walk in shame and we wonder, you know, if I pray for this person now and then he sees me doing something I shouldn't do after lunch, well, okay, I just won't pray for him. Can't walk like that. We have to walk in boldness.
Amen.
Even though we fall down, and even though we do things we shouldn't, we still need to walk in boldness for Christ. Because His grace is enough to carry us through that. He wants to use you. Jeff, I'm sorry. Can I share one more thing? And I might have shared this already, but there's a man at work, and he posted something on Easter, something about he wasn't going to go to church. And a lot of people were concerned. And so, you know, I went and talked to him because he had this great story. And I knew this happened because it was on the AEP website. And so what happened was, he was on the balcony at Corpus Christi somewhere in the bay, and there was a long jetty, and there were two ladies, and they were really inebriated. And he could tell. He was on the balcony. He could hear them. One of them decides she's going to walk out on the end of that jetty. And the other one's begging her, don't do it. She's screaming, don't go out there. She goes, I'm just going to go sit down. So he's listening. He's watching. She walks to the end of the jetty, and she falls in. He runs from the balcony and goes out there. His wife follows him, and he's looking for her. Her hat pops up here, but this guy knows what he's doing. He knows that her hat is not where she is. So he's looking. Finally, he sees her come up. It's nighttime. Somehow he sees her. She's 70 yards away. And this is in the bay. This is deep water. And he turns around and looks at his wife. And she goes, James P. Atkinson. And he jumped in. He swims 70 yards, gets her, calms her down, brings her 70 yards back. He's telling me the whole story, and I'm listening, and I go, James, there's no way I could have done it. I'd have died trying. And he goes, well, Trevor, I grew up on the Atlantic side of the United States. I swam in the ocean all the time. I was a skilled swimmer with the Navy. And he goes, that's what I know how to do. That's why I said, well, you know, James, it looks like it wasn't her time to die. Because God used you to save her life.
Amen.
And I said, what do you think about that, James? And he said, I think that's right. You don't have to have it all together to do something amazing for God, do you? You know, that amazing thing may just be to have a prayer for a co-worker in the alley who can't find his nephew. That happened to me one night, and he'll never forget it. He thinks I'm the greatest, and I'm not. And he knows I'm not. But he remembers that. I hope it's okay that I shared all those things. God is good. God is good. So, I'm going to let y'all have it. Is it time for the children's sermon? Well, let's have that.
Back a little bit. Scoot back a little bit. Yeah, right there. Here, Grace. Right here, Abby. Can y'all scoot out? Scoot back right there. Fletcher. Here, Liam. Liam, right up here. Okay, that's fine if you don't want to. Okay, that's fine. Okay, all right. Luke, you good? Okay, all right. Okay, everybody sit down. Everybody good? Everybody good? All right. Hey, Daniel, are you waving at us? Oh, okay, waving at Drew. Okay, well, Drew's a good friend. How is everybody this morning? Come on, Lily. All right, well, this morning we're going to do something just a little bit different. So, has everybody had a good week? Has everybody had a good week? Okay, well, last week, some of our older kids actually went to church camp. And I know someday y'all are going to be going to church camp. And Your brother goes to church camp, yes. Your brother did go to church camp. And so they wanted to share what happened at camp for each one of them. And so we wanted to give them the opportunity to speak for just a moment, okay, guys? And just share what God did in their life and how much they enjoyed camp. And so Miss Linda's going to start first, okay? All right. Okay, good morning. So I had the privilege of spending a week with these guys along with about 80 other campers at the one-way older elementary advanced camp at Camp Butman. And it was a busy week, but we had fun. It was filled with activities, Bible study, memory work, and worship. Worship was amazing. We studied the book of Daniel, and we learned that no matter what is happening in the world around us, that we need to trust God and that we need to remain faithful to him. Okay, so just a few things that I saw in these campers. I saw courage. I saw perseverance, leadership, compassion. I mean, the list goes on and on. These kids are amazing. I learned a lot from them this week. They blessed me. So camp culminated Thursday evening with worship, in chapel. And I have to say, the only way I can describe it is the most awesome and amazing spiritual experience I've ever had. I mean, it was amazing. Okay, so if there was any doubt in my heart about being in children's ministry, the Holy Spirit let me know that this is exactly where God wants me to be. Okay, so after worship on Thursday, the campers had an opportunity to make a decision about their faith. And so we had 28 campers that committed publicly for the first time to follow Jesus. That is 32% of the campers at camp. Then we had 17 campers that rededicated their life to Jesus. That's 20% of the campers. And then we had 9% of the campers that feel the Holy Spirit is leading them into ministry in some capacity. And that's 10% of the campers. So that's 62% of campers in that camp that their lives changed that week. And it was a blessing to be a witness to that. So we have a few of the campers that I took with us up here, and they would like to share their experience with you.
One of my favorite things that I learned about Daniel and what I will try to do in my life is trust God even when it feels impossible.
One of the things that I will do in my life is pray more about God and learn more about him.
I've learned from church camp that always trust in God.
Church camp is just overall amazing, and it's just a wonderful experience where you can feel the Holy Spirit.
All right. Way to go, guys. I know it was a blessed week for y'all, and thank y'all for sharing with that. We are so excited that y'all were out there spending time learning and knowing about God's great and amazing love. Does God love us? Can we learn about that at church? Can we learn that about a camp and when we are at home? And even if we go to the grocery store, just like Mr. Trevor said, when we are doing for others and we can pray for our friends or just tell them about Jesus, we are sharing God's love with everyone. And do we want to share God's love with everyone? Do we want to share God's love with everyone? Yeah. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the joy and the blessing of these kids going to camp. And we thank you for the joy and the blessing of all the kids that are here today. And just bless us as we move forward through this day and just through every moment of our lives, Lord, that we will just walk out our faith and just be a light for you, Lord. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go.
Man, I'm encouraged to know that there's no boundaries with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter the age. He's in the business of changing lives. So welcome this morning to Wiley Methodist. For those of you worshiping online, welcome as well. If you want to register your attendance at some point, you can do that. I wanted to remind you, we have two more Wednesday nights before we take a break for 4 weeks. We will pick back up at the end of August, the last Wednesday night in August. And also want to remind you of our all-church splash day at Adventure Cove on the 11th of August. And our meal starts at 6:30, and the water park is open at 7:30, and then our two services start on the 22nd of August. We're excited about that and wanted to encourage you to consider attending the early service. We want to see both of those services successful. So let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We had 26 men, 23 from our church, go to Promise Keepers Friday. Yeah. And Friday night and up through to about 2 p.m. yesterday. And it was a phenomenal trip. I think most every man was impacted in some way by the presence of the Lord. For me, it was almost like God hit the reset button for me. And I need that on occasion. And there was just, they were throwing so much at us. And I've heard Jeff make this comment before. When you've got a lot of stuff coming at you, he's made this comment in regard to his studies when he's gone to a seminary. He said it's almost like trying to drink out of a fire hydrant. I mean, you catch some of it, and then you got to kind of catch up on what you missed maybe later on, and that's kind of where I'm at. So if you went to Promise Keepers, I want you to stand, if you don't mind. I go, keep, stay standing. Follow instructions. All you have to do is follow instructions. All right, men, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right, you weren't there. You have no idea what that's about. But keep standing. All right, I think God wants one person to share a testimony about their experience. One person. If that's you, come on up. We need to hear what the Lord did. The rest of you guys stand. God bless you. I mean, sit. Go ahead and be seated. I'm sorry. Thanks for following instructions. All right, Mike, here's the deal. 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay.
I've got the hook.
Okay.
So if you get a little long, I'll...
Yeah. Billy knows me well. So for me, being a member of this church for approximately 3 years, I felt that I needed to get more of that fellowship with the men. And what Jeff was mentioning this morning, for instance, I just love to see the joy. And that joy really has to open up, and you have to have a little bit of courage of connecting with people. And you got to give up a little bit of yourself. You got to bore Eric for about 6 hours and prattle on. But it's all worth it. During the actual, and this is my first Promise Keepers, and it probably won't be my last. It's the first one my wife recommended you really should go to, as a matter of fact. The music, the worship is unbelievable. It's loud and unbelievable. But there was some amazing times. The last speaker on Friday night, And the last speaker on Saturday really, really brought the messages home. And amazing, amazing stories. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be married to my wife. I'm blessed that I have some promises to keep. I am blessed to be a member of this church and this community and just to get to know a lot of people better. God bless you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, they gave an altar call Friday night, and I don't know, thousands of men probably went down, and it was really a profound experience for all the men. So what I want to do this morning, I want to pray for the men that went to Promise Keepers. I also want to pray for these campers that went to church camp this week, that the things that God sowed into them, that he'll come along and water those things. And I want to pray against what the devil would try to do to discourage, to try to talk people out of their experience. And so pray with me. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you, first of all, that you are a God of encounter. And Lord, it's just amazing the way you touched these young lives this last week. And not just them, but the sponsors. I was blessed by Linda's testimony. Just giving her confirmation that she's what she needs to, doing what she needs to do. And Lord, for all the men, not just us, for the other tens of thousands of men that were there, God, I just pray, Father, that we walk out with what you've revealed to each one of us. And Father, I pray that as we continue this growth process, whether we're 5 years old or 75 years old, as we continue that growth process, we know without a doubt that the Holy Spirit will be with us, will be giving us wisdom, will be speaking truth to us. And Lord, help us to tune into his voice versus the voice of the enemy that would be speaking lies to us, trying to undo the things, Almighty God, that you have done in the hearts of men and little children. So I thank you that you go with us. I thank you that you don't leave us as orphans. Lord, I just pray for a heightened awareness of your presence in this room this morning, for your glory. God, I believe you want to do some things in hearts this morning. And I pray against the enemy who would want to come in and just literally rob what you're trying to do, snatch the word out of people's hearts. This morning, I pray for a strong angelic protection about this room this morning. And may we walk out of this room knowing without a doubt we've met with you and that we're different. Father, would you do that for your glory? Oh, you're such a good, good God, such a good, good Father, so kind, so loving, so gentle, so holy and mighty. And we love you for who you are. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, we'll take our offering at this time. You can also give electronically. God bless you, church, as we worship the Lord together again. God, the Lord Most High.
hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven.
Now and forever.
nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Well, good morning again. God is busy. I'm telling you, God is busy. Just this week, God is busy. I'm going to talk more about that in just a second, but I want to, if you are our guest this morning, I especially want to welcome you. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. I hope you feel His Holy Spirit. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. You've got a blue stripe that says guest. And we'd love for you to fill that out. But you don't have to do that, but would love for you to. And I'd love to meet you. I'll be out at this end of the foyer after the service. Have a free gift for our guests as well. And would love to get to know you. God, I say God is busy. He's always busy. But just you seeing it with the children. And I wanted to, you know, those numbers that Linda shared, I wanted to bring that home rather than the whole campers. I wanted to bring those numbers down to Wiley United Methodist Church. We had, how many of our children were there, Marv and Diane? Okay, well, you work on your numbers there. But I think we had about eight or so, something like that. About eight children went to camp this week. Two of those eight gave their life to Christ. Now, this one is one I like, even more than the first one. Three calls to ministry out of those eight. Don't run me off yet, but they're preparing. And two rededications their life to Christ. Man, out of eight, that's seven of our eight right there. Yeah, that's good stuff right there. And with Promise Keepers, we were at AT&T Stadium where the Dallas Cowboys play, and I don't know if you've ever been in that stadium, but it's massive. It holds, I think, 104,000 people or so. So anything, you know, it can swallow up big crowds. But I don't know. I haven't heard the official announcement, but I'm guessing between 20,000 and 30,000 men were there. And there was a lot of men. And you know, one of the things that struck me was when you go to Promise Keepers event, people are nice. If I've gone to a Dallas Cowboy football game, I got to tell you, I mean, it's like every man and woman for themselves. It's like, yeah, that was my spot in the line. But at Promise Keepers, it's like somebody, you know, it's like, hey, they step back and let you pass through or have a place. In line, crossing the street, I heard there was a black police officer that was directing traffic, and I had saw several people say, "Thank you for your service, officer." They probably don't get that at a Dallas Cowboy game. I mean, just there's a difference. And one of the things when we left, they announced it from the stage, and he said, "You know, there's people that clean the stadium that are paid to do that." He said, "Let's let them go home early today." He said, pick up your trash. And when I left, I'm looking around. It's like, man, those rows were clean. And I think that was probably throughout the stadium. There's just something. Christ makes a difference in us. And so that's exciting for me. Turn with me to Daniel. This is really cool. I was planning on this series, and I sent some notation to Marv about the. I sent him an insert that he sends on to his kids earlier in the week, and he said that was the theme for camp. Daniel was the theme for camp this week. I had no idea. Thank God, maybe trying to even talk to us. You reckon? Daniel, chapter 6, we're going to pick it up in verse 16. So the king, this is King Nebuchadnezzar, he gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without... The king liked Daniel. He spent the night without eating, without entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came to near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Don't you love that? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. Now this is kind of ironic here. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. Now, man, we don't understand that God is also a God of justice. He's not just a God of grace and mercy, but he also, you can't have grace and mercy unless you have justice. Before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Let's pray. Father, we're listening. We're still our hearts and our minds, and we're listening, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series. By the way, thank you for allowing me a week away, Cheryl and I, a week away last week. By the way, I worshiped with you online last week. That was kind of cool, being on that end of things. So thank you for allowing us to do that. And Billy always does a great job when he brings the word. He does a great job with everything. Thank you, brother. We're continuing the sermon series today, Overcomer. And I started out, this was going to be Daniel, but I kind of switched gears a little bit. It's Daniel and friends, Overcomer. Daniel and friends, overcoming the trap of peer pressure. Does anybody, no, we're not, I'm probably wasting my time. None of us succumb to peer pressure, right? That's not on our radar. We just march right through no matter what the consequences, no matter what people will think. We just march right through life and do what we think God wants us to do, right? The truth be known, we probably all struggle with this. I ran across this video. I want to show you a short video here that it actually didn't surprise me, but it's a really interesting experiment that was done illustrating the power of pressure that we feel from other people. Watch this video if you would.
to answer that question, we set up a hidden camera experiment to see if this woman would stand up at the sound of this tone, simply because everyone else is. You might be thinking you'd never go along with this. Or would you? After just three beeps, and without knowing why she's doing it, this woman is now conforming perfectly to the group. But what happens if we take the group away?
Elaine, please.
Okay, now she's alone, the crowd is gone, and nobody is watching her, except our hidden cameras. What do you think she'll do? She's now conforming to the rules of the group without them even being there. Now, watch what happens when we introduce another outsider who doesn't know the rules.
Have a seat, and they'll be out in just a couple minutes. Great, thanks so much.
Think she'll teach the new guy what to do? We kept the cameras rolling as more unsuspecting patients arrived. And slowly but surely, what began as a random rule for this woman has now become the social norm for everyone in this waiting room.
How many of you are wondering what you would do in that room? That's thoughts crossed my mind. Surely I would not stand up over when they start beeping. You know, we laugh, but isn't that kind of our world? I mean, we see stuff and it's like, and we're afraid to be bold. I mean, it takes courage when everybody else is standing up. It takes courage to stay seated, right? As Christians, we're called to swim upstream, to not go with the flow. I'm going to quickly kind of summarize. Most of you know the story of Daniel, but I'm going to kind of summarize some of it, and we're going to also get into the friends part here in just a second. But just bear with me. This is all, if you want to read all about Daniel and these others that we will get into, it's in Daniel 1 through 6, chapter 1 through 6. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king in Babylon, and he overthrew Israel, and the king commanded that he pulled aside these young, strong, strapping young men, and he was going to train them for 3 years into his service. And just think about that, training for 3 years just to be in service to this king. Daniel, and who's later became known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were placed in service to the king, to Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord blessed them. He gave them exceptional wisdom, and he gave Daniel this incredible ability to interpret dreams and visions. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. None of his astrologers, none of his leaders could interpret it. Daniel interpreted the dream. And what's interesting is he didn't say, "Here's the dream. What does it mean?" He said, "I had a dream. You need to tell me the dream. And then you also need to tell me what it means." So Daniel was able to do that through the power of God himself. So Daniel began to win favor with the king. Then Is that? Danny stood up in the back. Oh, my goodness. Well, if the praise team will come forward, we'll close. That's all I got. I knew you would do it. Where was I? Okay. So, Daniel won favor with Nebuchadnezzar because he could interpret these dreams and so forth. So, and then Nebuchadnezzar built a 90-foot high by 9-foot wide image of gold. And he ordered that everyone in the kingdom must bow down and worship the image when they heard the music play. Danny? Isn't that interesting? When they heard the music play, when they heard the beep, they were to worship this image. Well, that leads us to the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which are kind of the fellow Israeli men that were along with Daniel. And I want to pick this up. I'm going to read this because I think it's such an incredible story. If you haven't read this, enjoy. Daniel 3:15. I'm going to pick up there and read what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They defied the king, and he had told them he was going to throw them into a fiery furnace if they didn't bow down and worship this image. Verse 15, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, whatever you pronounce that, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made. Very good. If you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then, I love this, the arrogance of this statement. Listen to what he says. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? You think that, do we see that playing out some in our culture? The arrogance of that setting God aside? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. This is even better than his comment. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. Listen to the rest. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Somebody say, go, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, let's go. That's right. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. See, they had been of high favor, Daniel and them. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie them up and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, and turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The king leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men in the furnace that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see. I see a 4th man walking around in the furnace, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. You think that was the pre-incarnate Jesus? I think it was. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So they came out of the fire. And all of his royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. I don't know about you, but you ever, like, just sit around a campfire? You're not in the fire, but you just sit around it, and you go home, and it's like, dang, you smell like smoke. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And Nebuchadnezzar said, praise, I think things have shifted a little for him. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Man, that's good stuff, huh? I love the story of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. So skipping forward to the verse that I read earlier, Daniel, you know, was also asked to worship the king rather than worship God. He didn't do that, would not do that. That's why he was thrown into the lion's den. So, man, in this world that we're living in, this day and age, peer pressure, we saw it, and it's hubris, we saw it in that video, but peer pressure is all around us. So people want us to conduct ourselves a certain way, not to swim upstream, not to defy what's the norm, the social norms. And I hope this is not offensive, but I feel allowed to say it. Just in the last week, what's been kind of coming to my mind and permeating my spirit is this question: how are so many good, smart, rational people being duped by our culture? I mean, that's the question. It just keeps rolling in my mind. How are so many people being duped by all the stuff that's going on? And then we just like, hey, man, the bell sounded. We just need to stand up. I have no idea why, and I know it's not true. I know this stuff that's going on that we're all supporting and getting on board with. I know that's not God's word, but the bell sounded. I just need to stand up. And it's not like it's that's what's amazing to me is that it's not people that you think, golly, well, I understand why, you know, Billy Bob over there is getting deceived. He's not all that bright. No, it's bright people. If you're Billy Bob in here, I'm sorry. I was not talking about you. It's just, if there's a Billy Bob, stand up. No, I'm just kidding. I was trying to think of something that nobody had that name, but. Why and how are so many people being duped into following things in our culture that aren't true, that are damaging to people? One of the speakers, and Stephen reminded me of this this morning, that from the Promise Keepers, the last speaker that we had, or one of the last that we had, Sammy Rodriguez, right? Was a pastor out of California, a fiery guy, I mean, solid guy and everything. And you know, one of the things that he was talking about is he gave the opening prayer, or not the opening prayer, he gave a prayer at Donald Trump's inauguration, okay? A pretty high-profile pastor. And this guy's fiery. And as he's going up to give the prayer, right before he goes up in there, some of the aides and so forth of the that were putting the thing on came up and said, we really don't want you to use that name. You know what name we're talking about. That's kind of off-putting and offensive and so forth. So the name of Jesus is what it was. We didn't really, if you just wouldn't mention Jesus in your prayer. It's the world we live in, friends. When Jesus is the only hope that we have. I did a sermon this past, a funeral this past week, and I shared with the family, and they got it. It's like when we come to the end of this life, and even before then, but for sure when we come to the end of this life, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. It doesn't matter how many friends you have. It doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter how good looking you are. It doesn't matter how much stuff you have. Only thing that matters is you're standing before your Maker. Does Jesus know you? Do you know Jesus? And this Sammy Rodriguez And Stephen was telling me he watched it. He was telling us about it at Promise Keepers. He watched the video. But he said, at the end of his prayer, he said, "And I pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ." He said it. That's somebody was ringing the bell and wanted him to stand up, and he stayed in his seat for Jesus. Man, and it takes courage to do that. It sounds like a simple thing just to pray in the name of Jesus. Golly, he's a Christian pastor. But don't use that name. That's offensive to some folks. Have I ever said that sometimes my head's going to explode? Have I ever said that? To overcome, I'm going to hit these really quick. To overcome the trap of peer pressure, I believe that we're seeing this demonstrated as we look at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they responded to this government that was telling them that they must worship someone other than the living God. The first thing is, to overcome the trap of peer pressure, we must recognize our identity. And we talked about it a lot at Promise Keepers this week. It all starts with understanding who you are in Christ. If you don't know that you are a child of the King, it changes everything. I mean, you're searching for that acceptance from others, and hey, if I'm just successful enough, if I just have enough money, if just enough people bragging about me or sports or whatever it is, if I can just get that kind of recognition, I'll be okay. No, if we're doing that, that's a lifelong trap to nowhere. We have to understand that when we understand who we are in Christ, we understand that God loves us just the way we are, and we don't have to please anybody else. It can change how we react to the pressure. And in this passage where Daniel, he's speaking to Daniel, the king, and he says, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And so even the king recognized that who Daniel was. Daniel had this God that he served, this God that he loved, this God that he trusted, and that made all the difference for Daniel. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And Trevor, is Trevor around? Trevor's, he's in the back there. You kind of gave a prelude to what I was going to share here, but I'm going to reinforce what you were talking about with your daddy coming home. You know, with my dad was a great man. We lost him a few years ago, and I can remember when I was a little boy, my dad worked for the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and his office was in the old First State Bank building, which is now where you do your titles, title transfers and all that stuff. But to me, it's like walking into that building and it's several stories and all these people, and I'm a little boy, and it's like I'm kind of overwhelming and intimidating. And I remember walking into the building, and they had this cafe where you could, dining place where you could go and get coffee and, you know, muffins or whatever. And I remember walking into that place, and I felt lost and intimidated. But I was with my dad. I belonged. I was okay because I was with my dad. Bob Hatcher's boy. And that made me somebody in that place. Because we are God's boy or God's girl, a child. We're somebody. Recognize who you are, and that will help us in this battle, this trap of peer pressure. Secondly, to overcome the trap of peer pressure, we must realize that our strength to stand firm comes from God. It's not our own strength. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And as he's throwing them in, if we are thrown in the blazing furnace, and remember the king had said, Who's gonna save you now? What God is gonna save you now? I've heated this furnace up. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve, there it is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They understood that they had no power in the furnace, but they had God with them. Realize that we can overcome peer pressure, that we can walk in our identity when we know who we are and we understand where our power comes from. And again, at Promise Keepers, they talked a lot about walking with the power of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite speakers was Nick Vojcik, I believe is his name. This Nick was born with no arms and no legs. I've shown videos several years ago about Nick. And he is an evangelist that has a ministry, and he travels all over the world, and no telling how many people have come to Christ through the message of the gospel through Nick. He was there, and he has one little partial foot. He's a torso and a head. That's it. He has that one little partial foot. And they set up a platform, and I don't know how he does it, but he's walking with this little partial foot. He's walking back and forth. I'm watching him. I'm like, how's he do? Why didn't he just stand still? It's almost making me tired watching him. He's just going back and forth, and he gets excited, and he's jumping. And I'm like, I'm listening to him, and he's sharing the goodness of God, and I'm thinking, I got no problems. Think about that. He hasn't had the ability to hug. When I see you on Sunday morning, I hope that I try to come and shake your hand, give you a fist bump, something. He can't do that. He's married, has four children. His wife's beautiful. Realize who we are and where our strength comes from to overcome peer pressure. And finally, to overcome the trap of peer pressure, we must remember that our faithfulness brings glory to God and can impact people. And there it is. You think about Nick Vojcik. I was telling some folks this morning that he has a pair of shoes that he set on the podium there beside him, and he said he's praying that he'll someday have legs and feet to put in those shoes. But he said, hey, if I don't ever get legs, I'll have legs someday. And in the meantime, God, I'm telling you, I don't think he's a dynamic speaker, but without the condition that he has, the disability that he has, he wouldn't be nearly as effective in bringing people, drawing people to the Lord. People look at him and go, whoa. If he had arms, legs like a normal person, he wouldn't be nearly as effective. But his faithfulness, God, what a blessing. God can use our faithfulness to bring him glory and to impact people. Nebuchadnezzar, the same one that said, "Who's God's going to save you now?" said this this was when Daniel. He said, "Praise be." No, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command, were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own." There's this, their faithfulness and their ability to endure this trial that they were in brought glory to God and impacted this king. How much more so, church, can we do? How much more so can our faithfulness impact those around us? I saw at Promise Keepers this week, I saw a lot of men there with their sons. And I'm like, you know, I got several, back in the 90s, I got to go to Promise Keepers with my dad. He didn't like the crowd, but we had a great weekend. But man, you're just generationally, even outside our family, we can have impact. But generationally, it's like, man, be a blessing to your children and to their children. Let them see faithfulness in you that brings glory to God and impacts their lives. If you'd just bow your heads with me, I'll ask the praise team to come on back up. Father, you are so incredible. And I think, Father, as Billy said this morning, sometimes we just need a reset just to remember that, be reminded of that. You were in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You were in the lion's den with Daniel. You can be with us. Whatever we're facing, and the peer pressure that comes at us, the culture that wants us to conform, just get in line and do what you're told and accept what we tell you to be true. We can stand against that. We can swim upstream, not in an arrogant way or in a hateful way, but in a faithful way. Empower us to do it through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We have two baptisms this morning after we have this closing song. Did I say God was busy? God is busy. And when some of these young people, these students that went to camp, I'm anticipating some baptisms coming up from them. If you don't know that Jesus I'm talking about, man, he knows you and he loves you. And I pray that you won't leave this place today without talking to me about it. Let's rise if you're able as we close with this last song. invite you to sit down for just a moment. I think it's going to be on the screen so you can see what's going on. Adam's family, y'all want to come up? Miss Lila, if I'm going to get you to step right across over there onto that one. Perfect. Got the crew. Come on, crew. Y'all aren't blocking anything. Just jump in there because I can see from the other camera. Lila, we've had chance to visit you and I and Carlene and your mom and dad, and we've talked about these questions we're going to ask you. And the first is, we talked about that word sin and how we're all sinners. Do you admit that you are a sinner and you want Jesus to forgive you of that sin and you want him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart? Amen. And you want to be baptized this morning? Awesome. If you'll step right down there and sit, hold your nose, Dad and I are going to do it. Lila, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Stay right there. Woo! That's good stuff. If y'all can reach in, if you can't touch her, touch the shoulder in front of you. We're going to pray. One of the things, Lila, we talked about was asking the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you. So we're going to do that. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for Lila. Thank you that your great love you have for her and for this family, God. Thank you for bringing them to our church. I pray, God, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit from the top of her head to the tips of her toes, that she would ooze Jesus, God, and that she would be a mighty warrior as she grows up, and that she would indeed love you with all her heart as you love her. Lord, bless her and bless this family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Robinson family, you guys, come on up. Anybody wants to come, come on. Come on, Tammy.
Oh.
I'm going to get you. You can stand on the lower. You're taller.
I am tall.
All right. while the family's coming up, I want to tell you a little bit. Tammy has been a believer in Jesus for a long time. But she comes today, she wants to come today and be baptized and profess that to you and make that official. And so we're excited about that, Tammy. So I ask you now, is everybody, we still got some coming up. Y'all come on. We had to build a new wing out for the Robinson family out here. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Tammy, here's your questions. You, calm down, girl. So I ask you, do you confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
And to be your Lord and your Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized today?
Yes.
All right, if you will sit and hold your nose, it's warm, right?
It is warm. Yeah.
Borderline hot. Tammy, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Stay right there. What an honor. What an honor. Everybody, if y'all can put a hand on a shoulder or find somebody in front of you to do that. We rejoice, Lord. Tammy knows you and you know her. She's walked with you a long time, but God, I know right now that the angels are rejoicing because of Lila and Tammy. God, they're rejoicing that she has publicly professed this and she has sealed it with your baptism. And I thank you for dying for Tammy. I thank you for the lady that she is, the mommy and the wife that she is, and Father, just the person she is. I pray, fill her with your Holy Spirit. May God, as I prayed before, may she ooze Jesus all over, God, and may there just be an aura of that about her. God, bless her and this family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church. Church, if you'll rise for this benediction. Church, I pray that you would go in blessings and that you would swim upstream. Go and be blessed. Go and tell someone we're dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.